Hello, and thank you for taking the time to listen to this recorded message for Trinity Sunday. I offer this prayer. Living God, receive all we offer you this day. Grant that hearing your word and responding to your spirit, we may share in your divine life. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The gospel passage appointed for Trinity Sunday is from Matthew's gospel in chapter 28, beginning at the 16th verse. The 11 disciples went to Galilee after the resurrection, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words of my lips and the thoughts and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Looking into a star-filled sky on a clear night far away from city lights stirs my heart with wonder and awe in a similar way to that which inspired the writer of Psalm 8 to pen these words. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? When I contemplate the wonders of the universe, I am humbled and amazed that the creator of that universe has any time for me. When I grow in the realization that not only does God have time for me, but as the writer of Psalm 8 has also said, God has crowned humanity with glory and honor and given them dominion over the works of God's hands. God has put all things under their feet. It astounds me that such trust has been placed into the hands of such weak and imperfect people such as me, and which causes me to sing with the psalmist, "O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth." When I'm standing outside looking into that star-filled sky, it is almost as if I am standing in the middle of a temple. A temple, of course, is a place where, symbolically at least, a deity dwells. The altar is the seat of the god or goddess, and adoration is directed there. There is a thought regarding the story of creation as found in Genesis that it is the story of our God creating his temple. At the end of 6 days, we read how, in this case, the deity was going to dwell within the temple. We are told that God created humanity in God's own image. Male and female, he created them. This action is regarded by some biblical scholars as the way in which our God came to reside in his temple. The fact that we are told that human beings were created in the image of God can be interpreted to mean that when the rest of creation looks at human beings, they are to see, as much as anyone can see, what God looks and behaves like. When evil entered the garden, it marred this image, and the effects have been felt throughout creation from that day until now. The wonder and goodness of humanity, mingled with its cruelty and ability to commit acts of evil, continues to fill our evening news broadcasts. The account of God's creation declares that at the center of everything is goodness. As it says, "The Lord looked upon everything he had made and declared, indeed it is very good." As we stand in awe of the universe and contend with the reality of our potential as image bearers of the loving Creator, we worship and wonder what our purpose in all this may be. One answer to this question is suggested in a document called the Westminster Catechism, published sometime during the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Question 1 asks, what is the chief end of humanity? The answer given is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. The answer to the question asked by the psalmist, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them, is that humanity is the means through which God has chosen to demonstrate His goodness and love to the universe. Humanity is to glorify God and enjoy God forever, because that is the way God designed the universe to work. Our worship gatherings and our study of Scripture is meant to help us in the task of glorifying God and enjoying His presence forever. As we continue to encounter God and attempt to live a life worthy of this wonderful reality, certain things begin to emerge. One of those things is attempted to be described using the doctrine we call the doctrine of the Trinity. As the followers of Jesus the Messiah began to sort out what God was doing, a kind of formula came into being as they spoke about the loving Creator. St. Paul, when writing to the Corinthians, coined the expression we use quite regularly at the beginning of church services. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. The oneness of God includes a trinity of being in a way that cannot completely be explained in words. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the Creator God were all present in Genesis chapter 1, and the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the Creator will be present at the end of the age. In the last scene recorded by St. Matthew, Jesus commissions His disciples with the words, baptizing them in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I command you, and remember I am with you to the end of the age. The process of glorifying God includes bringing new people into the family through the process of baptism and immersing them in the reality of God through teaching them that God's way of living this life is part of God's gift, as well as God's constant presence. The awe I feel under the starry sky humbles me and inspires me all at the same time. It is humbling to recognize the fact that I'm such a small part of the vastness of creation, but inspiring to know that I can, in my better moments, show the world what God is like. I can be taught how to live a life on earth in a way that God would have me live and, while learning, be forgiven for the mistakes that I make. It is a high and noble calling to live a truly human life in the midst of such suffering and grief. These days, our news broadcasts are filled with the pain and anguish felt by a portion of our community, and we are challenged to try to find ways of showing the world what God is like in the midst of this pain. We are asked to confront the evil and to hold on to what is good while forgiving those who have harmed us. The command to love your neighbor as yourself urges us to reach out to everyone regardless of how much they are different from us, and try to urge others to do the same. The God of this universe, the Creator of all, embodies love and mercy and forgiveness and righteousness. May we also grow in that love in order to more accurately reflect God's true nature to the world around us. Amen.